This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you here on a Wednesday. And fun stuff anytime you get to a Wednesday, because that means we're halfway through the work week, obviously. That also means it's time for a update on Leroy's new brat. Coming to a restaurant or a store near you. And Leroy, you weren't with us the first hour, but we were telling Pete Prisco all about the Leaperot that he'll have to get his hands on. Are you there, Leroy?
I like the Leaperot.
Leroy's not
Steve.
There.
Do you like the Leaperot, Steve?
I do like the Leaperot. I thought it was very good. gave him the opportunity to promote his Leaperot, and he's not there.
Right. Well, don't worry about it. Just keep it moving, Steve.
Oh, he's back. He's back. He's back. He just said he went to the bathroom. He just got back from the bathroom. Okay, Leroy, now that you're back.
I go to the bathroom at 4:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon. What time is it?
4:07. You're early.
Oh, I'm early. Hey.
That's good.
Okay.
Let's Metamucil later.
My prune juice. I moved on, Steve.
You moved on. All right, fine. I'm moving on as well. Let's go to this guy right here.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
All right, joining us now is the aforementioned Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As Christian Kirksey is talking to the media, Ryan was on the Zoom call waiting to get his question in. So you got your question in early, huh?
Yes, and it's always a hot mess on whether or not it's going to be early or not. But no, unfortunately, was able to. I think it was third, maybe.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks to the Packers for reading Ryan's question, and so you can join us
first.
Here on the Wendy's Big Show. Very nice. Okay, Ryan. So first things first. Matt LaFleur talked today. Aaron Rodgers.
You're not going to ask him about Giannis leaving? Oh, that's the wrong. My bad.
Ryan, do you think Giannis will sign the Supermax this offseason?
I am a lifelong, y'all know where I'm from, right? I'm a lifelong Indiana Pacers fan.
I didn't know that.
I went through this with Paul George. I'm sorry, Bucks fans. I've been saying it for years. I went through this already with Paul George. It's deja vu.
There you go. So he doesn't think he's staying. Okay. But anyways, he's also a long-suffering Mets fan, so you just forgive him. It hasn't been.
Oh, be nice, Steve.
Well, he just got great news on his Mets, though, Steve.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I did. $14 billion worth.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if Cohen does anything different than Wilpon. He can't run it any worse. Okay, let's get to the Packers here. And we haven't heard the Aaron Rodgers presser yet. Maybe we'll be able to sneak it in before 6 o'clock. So I was just reading all you guys on social media tweeting out quotes from Aaron throughout the Zoom presser. And he got into either being asked about or brought up all the different motions within this offense at the line of scrimmage with everybody. And as we all know, prior to Matt LaFleur getting here, he was never a fan of it, didn't like it. And apparently his tune has changed now.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a quarterback that is very comfortable in the offense, and things happen when that happens. Rhythm, timing, the ball goes to where it's supposed to go. You saw all of that, and yeah, you're right. The motions are I think pretty fascinating because it's almost every play, and it's not just the jet sweep, but it's, I mean, Josiah DeGuara, the value he gives this offense, it's pretty easy to see now, isn't it? He's a pure fullback and a pure tight end, which means that they can literally, before the snap, they can transition from a 12 look with two tight ends or a 21 look with two running backs without the defense having a chance to do anything in terms of personnel substitutions to combat one look or the other. And all that takes is just the motion. All it takes is Josiah DeGuara motioning from the backfield to flex left, flex right, in line, in the slot. He'll do that, or he'll motion into the backfield. So there's a lot of stuff that Matt LaFleur can do, and he uses guys in a really diverse way. We knew Tyler Irvin was going to be a versatile guy that's a receiver and a running back, but they like that end around with Alan Lazard. That was a good play for him. You don't think of Alan Lazard as a speed burner, but there he was getting 10, 15 yards on an end around. So, you know, he's used his guys in a lot of creative ways, and I do think those motions are really a bedrock of the system.
Bedrock. You know, when you look at – if you compare offenses, and this is what I saw last year and it's what I saw just only one game. Mike McCarthy's offense, we all know this, dictates matchups, which means that you really don't have to read the defense. I mean, you do, but you don't. But you know, if I got Jordy over here on this guy, he's getting it, right? If I got Greg Jennings over here on this guy, I'm looking around, and I can almost stare that guy down and know that I'm getting the matchup I want to get. But in this Matt LaFleur's offense, is it about matchups? Yes, most certainly, if you got Devontae Adams. But it also makes you read defenses more and take what the defense is giving you. And someone will always be open. So what it felt like to me on Sunday, that is exactly what he was doing. Because you can even see him go through his progressions and then, boom, check down. Now there were some times where you knew he was just going to throw that speed out to Devontae. Great, fine. You take what they give you. But it felt like to me he was reading more of what the defense was giving him and passing the football out on schedule, on time.
Well, he's certainly much more willing to hit the check down at Sunday than, I mean, when's the last time we saw him so willing to do that?
Because that's what the defense gave him.
Yeah, yep. And he's but, you know, the defense has given him that in the past, and he hasn't taken it.
Right, that's the difference. That's my point. That seemed to be the difference in this offense. Maybe he's bought in to understand now that I can do this, and we can still gain yards, and we still can move the chain here.
I agree. I agree. I think, and you know, he's more comfortable year two than having to learn it year one. I know he's still wearing the wristband. First of all, Gary, props to you, because I think you were the one that said that they were going to post, 500 yards on the Vikings?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yes, my
I was highly skeptical because, hey, Mike Zimmer is he's a defensive guru. I mean, the Vikings defense had zero chance. So, I mean, take what they gave. I mean, the Vikings defense gave the Packers offense the entire field. That there was no pass rush, there was no coverage. It was whatever they wanted to do, which is to say, maybe not this week, because who knows who's going to play cornerback for the Detroit Lions this week. But at some point, this Packers offense is actually going to run against a defense that is not completely overmatched like the Vikings defense was. And it will be very interesting to see what happens then. But in terms of what happened Sunday, I think that as bad as the Vikings defense was, and it was bad, I do think that the Packers offense was also really good. And we hadn't seen what they did schematically. We hadn't seen that all of last year. That's the first time we've seen that.
Yeah, I thought Mike Clemens had a platinum question. I mean, he talked about all the babies that were out there playing. Burns, Runyon, I mean, DeGuara. I mean, with no preseason, you normally don't see them babies out there in their first game. Those are veterans. But with no preseason, you got to put these guys out there. They got to grow up fast. So I'm sure somewhere Guru can have to feel good after week one that the young guys got a chance to get in the game, you know, briefly at times, but they also played a big role, especially Burns.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Barnes was tremendous.
I mean Barnes. I'm sorry.
What a week for him. You're cut on Saturday. You're practice one
yeah.
Sunday. You're added to the active roster on next Saturday, and then you're tackling Dalvin Cook.
Yes.
Beating three blockers on a screen to tackle Dalvin Cook in the open field.
God is good.
You know, it's amazing. Like, he could have been claimed. I mean, the Packers clearly benefited from no preseason games. There is no chance they would have been able to sneak him through if there was preseason film. But, I mean, he could have been claimed. He's a starter. He played 15 snaps. He was really – he was quite solid. And he could have been claimed. So that's kind of stunning. And then the other side of the ball, Josiah DeGuara, you know, Devontae Adams said today that he knew – Jair Alexander, I just want to come back to Josiah DeGuara. He knew Jair Alexander was a different guy when he beat him on a rep in his first camp. And it wasn't a big deal because Devontae Adams was Devontae Adams, and Jair Alexander is a first-round pick, but he was a young guy. I mean, the veteran's going to beat the young guy. And he comes into the locker room, and he sees Jair Alexander going over that clip time after time after time. He wasn't willing to concede the rep. He wanted to learn, okay, what do I need to do differently next time? And he had that level of focus. He just randomly dropped in the end of that anecdote that Josiah DeGuara reminds him of the same guy. He reminds him that the same level of focus is what he also sees in Josiah DeGuara. So there's not a coincidence that he's already a key part of this offense, and everyone was raising their eyebrows saying who when they drafted him in the third round, but you're seeing how the fit is there, and the Packers knew what they were doing. And then finally, A.J. Dillon, only two carries, 7 yards apiece on each, looked pretty explosive for a big guy, and Matt LaFleur said today that he wants to get A.J. Dillon more carries. So I wasn't surprised it was only two carries in this first game. I thought it'd be somewhat of a minor role to start. You'd see it build and kind of crescendo throughout the season. Well, it sounds like it's going to start building sooner than later.
Not surprising at all from that perspective. What about the tight ends? They really didn't throw the tight ends at all in this game. They were more in there to run block than anything else. Tonyan was out there more snaps than Mercedes Lewis. Sternberger was out there the least by far at this point. I think everybody kind of thought they would use the tight ends to use in play action and so forth to throw the ball to. Really didn't see that in week one.
Did they? I don't know. I wasn't really surprised.
I think because the cornerbacks are so bad. I think you'll get them this week, though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you've got Colton Hill on Devontae Adams.
I mean, come on.
Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The Titans played a ton. And, I mean, the way they were used is kind of how I expected them to be used. They were used as well, first and foremost, they were used as blockers. I mean, all that horizontal movement in this Packers offense, it's really reminiscent of the college game where there's just so much horizontal jet sweep and all that. You got to have tight ends that block to be able to pull that off. Like they're really important to this offense in terms of
that's
blocking. It's not just window dressing. Like that's the key of hitting the edge, is preventing the defense from setting an edge. And so they played a ton and they kind of mixed and matched. There's a lot of 12, there's a little bit of 13 personnel. And I think that you want to see that quite a bit. I don't know that you're going to see any one of these tight ends be big pass catchers. I just, especially again, yes, when the corners are overmatched, and they're going to be overmatched this week against the Packers offense as well with the Lions. But I think as a whole, the value that they give is in the things that aren't obvious. It's not in the fantasy points. It's in the schematic fits that they bring the offense.
Last one I got for you, buddy, and I'm sure there's nothing on Clark yet, but who goes in and fill in that position if he can't go?
Well, you saw Kingsley Keke. You saw Dean Lowry, obviously. You saw Tyler Lancaster. Those are the guys. Kenny Clark did not practice today. He didn't return after halftime, so it's not looking good until it looks good, you know, until he gets back on the field. It is what it is. Billy Turner did practice today. That was promising. Lucas Patrick also practiced today as well. So the Packers, without Layton Taylor, they're going to need those reinforcements on the offensive line. We'll see if Billy Turner is able to practice, if that knee feels good enough tomorrow when they're in pads. Because He returned last Thursday in practice. He was showing progression. Then Matt LaFleur said that there was some pain, some soreness, some swelling on Friday, so he wasn't able to go. So that's moving around on it today. If he can get back in pads, that would be a promising sign. But as far as Kenny Clark, we'll just have to wait and see.
Were you surprised by how good Runyon was when he was thrown into action on Sunday?
I was. I was surprised because he looked like a rookie in camp, and he was, I don't know how good he was because I didn't notice John Runyon, and that's a good thing. You're not noticing an alignment; they're not a problem. He was not a problem. So for a guy that was at the bottom of the depth chart coming in to have zero heads up, you always have to be ready if you're active. But I mean, there was a lot of things that had to go wrong for John Runyon to get in that game, and they all went wrong. And then he's suddenly, in the course of one snap, on the field to finish it off. And you know, they had a rushing touchdown with him on the field. Aaron Jones' final touchdown that came with John Runyon on the field and helping to pave the way. I didn't know that he would be ready to go this quickly. It was impressive.
Were you surprised by the fact that St. Brown was inactive and they activated Malik Taylor instead? And do you think that continues into week two?
Mildly, I don't think it's as big of a shock as people, you know, EQ is still very much working his way back after missing all last year. That was highly detrimental for any young player, especially a late round draft pick, to miss your second season. There's a lot for him to make up, and he didn't get a chance to do it this offseason because they were doing virtual Zoom meetings. They weren't on the field this offseason. So I would have thought, you know, if you asked me last Wednesday, EQ or Malik Taylor, I would have said EQ. But I wasn't surprised that they went the other way just because it's still going to take him a lot of time, I think.
He is Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. He'll join us again coming up on Friday. We'll talk to you then. Ryan, thanks for coming on.
All right, take care.
Take care. There is Ryan Wood in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's your passion on growing your home. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may have given you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Up next, David Bakhtiari joined the Wendy's Big Show yesterday and may have had us shaking our head a little bit before the interview was all said and done. We'll tell you why coming up next. But first, let me tell you, another football season is here, and the Q Club of Wisconsin welcomes both old and new customers for safe dining and watching the games with their huge entertainment game room and awesome food selection and drink specials. You'll find all of your favorites on their menu, from loaded burgers, wraps, wings, plus their Wednesday and Friday legendary fish fries piled high with all the extras. Start the weekend early with their breakfast specials on Saturday and Sunday starting at 9 a.m. Sundays, you better be there and be ready to go. You also can get carryout as well. Visit their Facebook page or QClubOfWI.com for menu and updates. Check them out. Q Club of Wisconsin, North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. And an update on the first game of the doubleheader for your Milwaukee Brewers. Keston Hira has just hit a two-run homer for the Brewers to give the Brewers a 2-0 lead over Wainwright and the St. Louis Cardinals.
Don't let him throw.
And to do it on Wainwright's pretty impressive. All right, back. We'll talk more about what David Bakhtiari had to say yesterday on The Fan. Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you as we broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Still to come on the show today, we will get to a Great Lakes Dragaway pick a lane coming up at 5 o'clock, and Detroit Lions great Lomas Brown will stop by, former Lions offensive lineman, now analyst for the Detroit Lions radio network, stops by at 5:35. Always, always have fun talking with Lomas Brown. Just a good dude. Yeah, always have fun talking to Lomas.
He's not as great as Gary, but he's a great guy.
He is about as great as me, man. That Lomas took me in when I got to Detroit. Yeah.
Allegedly.
To Lonnie Wayne.
He had a lot to change after you left Green Bay with who you hung out in Green Bay. There was a lot to
work
on there.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. There was a lot to fix there.
Yes. You had to go to different churches, man. You had to go to different churches.
Him and James Jones. Leroy, did you play against James Jones?
Stop, Gary.
What about Gary James? Was Gary James in Detroit when you were there?
Stop, man. I played against Barry Sanders.
Oh, you didn't
play against Billy Sims either. Don't bring that up.
You didn't play against Billy?
Steve, this your friend, man. Get him off me, man.
Hey, man.
I think you might have played against James Jones, though.
There's nothing I can do about the aging process.
No, James Jones went to Florida.
Yeah, number 30.
Yeah.
See, you know who he is. Let's go and get to this back to our thing.
I didn't play against Eric Hipple either.
Let's go. Come on.
Oh, I remember Hipple. Yeah. Okay. I do remember watching Eric Hipple.
Yeah, Eric Hipple.
Yeah, I remember him at quarterback. Okay. David Bakhtiari joins us every Tuesday on the Wendy's Big Show. Most Tuesdays, we would replay back the David Bakhtiari interview. Today, we were just slammed, so we weren't able to replay it. But having said that, David Bakhtiari was asked yesterday on this very show by Gary Ellerson,
Leroy
Butler, and myself about where his contract extension is at or isn't at this point.
I've heard, and I'll say what I've said before. Nothing meaningful has been talked about. So for me, I'm going into my last year of my contract, and my goal is to make it the most memorable one I can, and the best one.
Nothing meaningful has been discussed to this point. Leroy laughed. To me, it's a red flag. To me,
here we go.
I said it yesterday. If I'm worried about Giannis, you know I'm worried about Bakhtiari. And I've been worried about this Bakhtiari deal. I've told both of you when they drafted Jordan Love and that draft played out the way it did, I said, uh-oh, that is not a good sign for David Bakhtiari. That is not good. Because, again, it just is all lining up to build the offense so we're set to roll Jordan Love and there's not a lot of pressure on Love to have to be, you know, Tom Brady or somebody and carry the offense and make sure that this is all set up so he can go in, the car's running, and just kind of put it in cruise control and go with it. That's kind of how this is setting up. At the same time, you know, if you are going to have a run dominant offense, if that's where this is headed, which I think it probably is, and a short passing game, that you're going to need a really good defense. So if you're going to spend $20 million a year on a player, with a young quarterback, would you rather have that young quarterback, have that high-end player be on the defensive side of the ball at the wide receiver position to help said young quarterback, or maybe at the tight end position to help said young quarterback, or do you want it on the offensive line with a guy that's significantly older than your young quarterback that you just drafted? It's made sense to me the whole time, and I'll continue to say it, that they will draft an offensive lineman in the first round next year, and either Jenkins is going to be at left tackle or Jenkins will be at right tackle and the draft pick will be at the other tackle. And I think that's how this whole thing plays out. They drafted three guys, two of whom are guards. Running already looks like he can play guard. You just signed Lucas Patrick to a contract extension last year, another guy that can play guard at this point. It just, to me, I hope I'm wrong. I really do.
You're wrong.
But I'm concerned. I am. And when he says there's been no meaningful conversations, and Aaron Jones, meanwhile, is on NFL Network saying, yeah, we're talking. Because you know Aaron Jones is going to be, you know, what, 8 to 10 million, somewhere in that area probably?
Well, we'll get to that, because if you look at Dalvin Cook and Kamara, what
do they
get per year?
But he's not in their class.
Hold on. What do they get per year? Just let me know that. Then
big money.
We'll go from there. Let me just
look it up.
I'm gonna sit here on Bakhtiari right here, Steve. I'm gonna say this and say that they don't have another left tackle, and I'm gonna go down the same route. When I went, remember when Nick Collins worried about whether he gonna get paid or not? They paid him, and I said he was gonna get paid. David Bakhtiari is going to get paid. There's no way in the world you're gonna start a rookie left tackle.
Oh, it could be Jenkins.
Hold on.
No,
I know that you're talking about Elton Jenkins moving to left tackle. He'll get killed over there at left tackle.
Killed.
I mean, it's easy to move a joker to right tackle all day long, but left tackle, you can't do it.
Bob McGinn, in his piece today, he always does his, you know, footballs for each position group and so forth. And he put it out, I think it was today or yesterday, I put it out. I read it today. And he talked about Jenkins, and in college, he had like 5 starts at left tackle in college. He only had 1 at right tackle his entire college career. And they sent him out to right tackle to see how he would do out at right tackle. and he held his own out there at right tackle. So my point is, he's had more experience at left tackle than he did right tackle, and they still ran him out there at right tackle because of what they had on the offensive line that could play at this point. So unless Bakhtiari's willing to take, like I said, if he's willing to take like a two-year deal, then I'm sure they'll do it. But if he wants
If I'm back to her, I'll take a two-year deal and hit him again.
See, and I don't know. I don't know if he would be or not.
Sure will.
Well, if they say do that, yeah, but you and still make $25 million a year, yeah, hit him again, 2 years. No doubt about
Average salary for Kamara is $15
million
per year. Average salary for Dalvin Cook is 12.5.
Yeah.
Somewhere there you go.
So somewhere around 10.
Yeah, there you go. I already said that.
Yep.
So we'll see how that figures
8 to 10.
Now, back to Bakhtiari. I'm not worried about it at all. They re-signed Bakhtiari. He's coming back to Green Bay. They just don't have a replacement for him right now. Now, Bob McGinn may be right. I mean, he may be true. Bob is, you know.
He didn't say he was going to replace him. He just pointed out how many starts in college he had.
Oh, that he could play.
That he played five at left tackle, started five at left tackle, one at right tackle.
Okay.
And of the tackle positions you decide to throw him into, you decided to throw him into the position where he only had one start in his entire college career.
Okay,
that being right tackle.
Yeah, they're going to
play. You do know college ain't the same as pros.
No question.
Yeah, he do know that.
He playing some scrubs in college. You playing grown men up here like Trey Flowers.
Did pretty good, though.
Just run right over you. Yeah, but listen, going out there for a few quarters ain't the same as the whole game. Let me sit up for a minute. Let me sit up. Because sometimes things get on my nerves. I have to sit up.
What, are you lying on your couch or lying on the floor? What are you doing?
No, I was just sitting the type of way because I have all that kind of ass and stuff, the influx stuff. I have to sit a certain way or I'm probably burping and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Listen. Not only do they not have a backup, but you got to understand, you the left tackle. You know, I didn't know this until Reggie White told me. I really didn't. I didn't really care about it until when I was blitzing Steve. The best pass rusher is going to be on your left tackle. So you got to have a Joe Thomas there, or you in trouble, okay? Your best lineman. See, they wouldn't even give $10 million for the right tackle for Bulaga. I ain't doing that because I can get anybody over there at Wagner if you want to. But left tackle, I don't play with that position. I don't play. In other words, I'm not trying to play musical chairs with the left side. He's the only guy. And remember, he's a fourth-round pick. This guy won top pick overall. He's earned the right to be up there with, look up Tunsil contract, the $22 million, the Texans, Steve. He's earned the right to get those type numbers because he's kept Aaron Rodgers. Well, let's go back. Aaron Rodgers has been two-time MVP. Who was his left tackle? Aaron Rodgers has been a Hall of Famer, right?
This isn't about Aaron Rodgers. This is about Jordan
Love. It is about Aaron Rodgers,
man. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, you need to stop, Steve. Because if this man gets ran over, they're going to knock Aaron Rodgers' head off. Because he can't see in the back of his head.
It's about Jordan Love. It's not about him, man. It stopped being about him when they got Jordan Love.
Well, that's your argument. Let me do mine. You did.
You wanted to know Tunsil? Tunsil's average salary is $22 million a year.
Yeah.
There's no way he's getting that from the Packers.
Hey, man, listen. This is my dream, okay?
I understand.
I don't mess with left tackle, cuz I don't do that. One of my best buddies, we call him, his name Tank. He's a big Tom Brady. Well, not no more. He's a big Patriots fan. He said, Mr. Butler, I can play left tackle. I can play right guard. I can play nose guard. Just put me in the game. Another Muskego Warrior reference. When you say left tackle, Steve, them the ones that go to the Hall of Fame. Them the ones, man. You don't mess with that position. You can put anybody and give anybody help, but you're talking about left tackle that you don't got to give nobody no help. Number 69 has earned the right to get the same money that this man got, Tunsil. He deserved the right. Now, Tunsil was a top pick, man. He was a fourth-round pick. So that contract going to take a minute or two. But I don't think it's going to be like what we did with Chad Clifton. Man, Gary met him up in the Dells, and he sat us down and said, man, I may have to go get my deal and tell Ted, hey, man, I got me a deal. And Ted said, well, come on, we'll match it, because that would happen. I mean, so I would not play around with Bakhtiari. Do you know how many teams will be willing to make him the highest paid? if he was on the open market, and they can't franchise him. Steve, look at the franchise number for a left tackle. Hey, man, you don't want to pay them kind of numbers. So you need to do them on an extension. And it may take a minute or two. Now, Gary hit on something. That's why Tom Brady, to me, did some great things when he was in New England. Every 2 years, they just kept getting this guy $40 million, $30 million, you know, just restructure his contract. If he want to take a two-year deal, fine. If he want to take a three-year deal, fine. If it was me, this your last chance. Now, Gary, we believe this is last chance. Got to be, right? Mm-hmm. To hit him. Mm-hmm. This is last chance to hit him, Steve. Hey, man, a five-year deal, man.
Yeah, this is it.
A five-year deal, $100 million contract with about 50 or 60 guarantee, and then you're done with it. And I'd be willing to, all day long, if I'm upstairs, I'm giving him a five-year, $100 million deal all day long, and I can, that ain't but $20 million. And now I'm done with him, and I go over to, you know, Aaron Jones if you want to. But if I'm David Bautista, if they don't ask, they don't offer me anything under in the $20 million range, I'll just play it out and bet on myself.
Because right now,
what that franchise
his
is,
average
Steve?
Salary right now is $12 million.
That's embarrassing.
That's what Bakhtiari says right now. Now, he's going
what
into this.
Made, Steve? 77. Oh,
I'll look it up. But Bakhtiari is age 28.
Right he's now. Still a baby. So, I got a daughter 35.
Right, so he'll be hitting unrestricted free agency going into his age 29 season. Now, I'm not sure, you guys would know this more than me, I'm not sure how the offensive linemen are judged by age. You know, running backs, they always say, once you hit 30, it's downhill after that. So I don't know what the standard in the NFL is with, well, once a tackle gets to this age, it goes downhill from there. But well, I would have to imagine.
Gary, don't you look at his injury history?
I think you look at offensive tackle, especially left tackle, about 35, 36.
Right. Easily. So he could, literally, from that standpoint, going into age 29 season, he could hit him for 5 years. Or he could wait and let somebody else get him for 5 years.
Or he could go short term and hit him two more times.
You could do that.
He could do that too. Sure, but I'm just saying it's not outrageous for him to ask
for that
deal.
Because then you'll make all the money. If he go do a 2 year deal, he'll make all the money.
It'll be actually be a 3 year because he'll finish this year out and get two new ones.
But remember,
then they'll get more guaranteed money.
Tunzel was 26 when he hit that 3 year $66 deal, and he's going into age 29. Season. So 3 years older, how much of a money difference does that make? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving him a 5 year.
I think he's better than Tunsil, though.
60 of it going to be grant. 60 of it going to be guaranteed.
Can't you argue he's better than Tunsil?
Of course.
Yes.
Right? So you both agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see,
so,
he's playing with the kid in Dallas, and that's who was all decade, if you want to play facts to fact. I thought he should have been all decade, but the kid 77 in Dallas, he was the gold standard. He made the all-decade team. So he make a lot of money too, Steve. These left tackles compared to right tackles, they make a ton of money because.
You want Tyron Smith's number?
Yeah, because he dropped back, Steve. I can't see in the back of my head. But we had Bruce Wilkerson. You know Big Bruce, bow-legged Bruce.
Yeah, Big Bruce. Yeah, bow-legged. Big old dude to be bow-legged.
It's a big difference. And God bless his soul, Tootie Robbins used to tell me, I said, why they treat y'all different from right to left tackle of y'all? He said, we get the best pass rusher because most guys are right-handed, so they like to rush from the right. So I went to Big Dog. I said, is that the fruit? Big Dog said, yep. I like to come from the right. Now, I can come from either side, but my club really works well when I'm on the right side.
Well,
but if it's a certain guy that sets real, do that little kick step soft,
sets.
I can club him with the left one too. But that's Reggie White. So Trey Flowers this week, he's going to be lined up right over by Tower unless they say, nope, go line up on your former teammate, Wagner, and see can you get some damage.
See what he can do.
Left tackles, all those guys get paid. If you go to top five left tackle, they all get paid big money. Man.
I'll tell you what Tyron Smith makes coming up after on the other side. Plus, you can hear from David Bakhtiari one more time on what he said if you're just tuning in.
I ain't worried.
The question is, are you starting to worry about David Bakhtiari's long-term future with the Packers and that maybe a deal won't get done? 414-799-1250.
414-799-1250. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, would not be good. Tweet us at 1057 FM The Fan. And then they trade Aaron Rodgers, and then it's all Rodgers retires,
man.
And then all of a sudden you have Christian Yelich still, and that's it.
No.
That'd be bad. Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fan. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Are you starting to worry about David Bakhtiari, the Packers left tackle? That his deal's not going to get done. This extension isn't going to get done going into the last year of his deal. If you didn't hear what he said yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show, I'll play that for you momentarily. Have you got your picks in yet for the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em? If you haven't, why haven't you? You get to play against me every week. You get to play against guys from around the country, guys maybe that you hear on CBS Sports Radio, maybe guys that have used to work here at the radio station like Jeff Rieger. He's involved. You can play against me, like I said. And it's great. It's no point spreads, no lineups, and totally free to enter. And all you have to do to sign up is go to radio.com/picks. All you got to do is pick the winners. Again, no point spreads. Don't got to worry about that. Radio.com/picks. And I know, well, it might be free, but I really want to play something for free. If I got a chance, I don't have a chance to win anything. Who does that? Fine. Well, how about this? $1,000 is up for grabs each week, and $10,000 is up for grabs at the end of the season. Now, it's free, and you can win money. Does it get any better than that? It's the Rockin' Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up. See if you can beat me. We'll play each and every week throughout the season. Sign up now at radio.com/picks. Here's David Bakhtiari from yesterday's Wendy's Big Show talking about his contract extension.
I've heard, and I'll say what I've said before. Nothing meaningful has been talked about. So, for me, I'm going into my last year of my contract, and my goal is to make it the most memorable one I can, and the best one.
All right. So there's Bakhtiari yesterday.
Shocking to me that he had to say that.
It's shocking to me that he admitted there was nothing going on. I mean that.
No,
to
the
me,
word was meaningful, Steve.
Meaningful.
Meaningful, meaning there's nothing going right. on. If there was meaningful talk.
Meaningful means that they're not the number that I want them to be at.
Exactly.
So that's they're lowballing them.
Yeah, meaningful.
But again, if you want to look at it from the media school training that Leroy always talks about, you're going to just say, I just don't want to get into talking about contract extension.
No, he won't even talk about that one.
Well, I know he did. I understand. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he could.
What I wanted him to say, Steve.
He could have went the other way and just said, "I'm just not going to talk about that. So my agent's doing it. That ain't my deal. Whatever," and move on. You know, Aaron Jones wasn't shying away from it when they asked him on NFL Network. Yeah, man, they're working on hoping to get it done. And Bakhtiari not as positive with what's going on with his situation. So I was worried about it prior. I heard it yesterday. I'm as worried, if not more worried, now than I was. Before on this whole deal. Now, the one thing that...
How much money they got left, Steve, in the kitty?
None. As far as salary cap goes?
Yeah.
Let me look.
What number they got? They got
I'll
13,
look.
14 million?
While I'm, looking at said thing, Gary, you always talk about and have talked about for years about those teams that are on rookie quarterback contracts and how, yeah, it's great when you have them if they can start for you, but... Right. Once they get paid, then you're going to be stuck. And the one thing with getting Jordan Love, I mean, you won't have a lot of time with him on his rookie deal probably before you have to extend him, but you will get a couple of years where you could have fat contracts in those couple of years for Jordan Love before you have to pay him. The Packers, according to Spotrac.com, which is what I use, have $9 million in cap space right now, which puts them 22nd in the NFL. The least amount is the Atlanta Falcons at $3.6 million. The most, the Cleveland Browns at $32.9 million.
They don't need that. They don't know how to sign the right people.
Well, okay, so the teams that are good. Browns, Jets, Jaguars, top three aren't good. Patriots are fourth. Patriots are at $28.6 million in available cap room. Cowboys are at $24.7 million in available cap room. Eagles, $19.3 million in available cap room. So of teams that are decent.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of these teams would probably need $15 million to do something early before the trade deadline. But even if you probably can extend one more guy with that. Because remember, when you do these extensions, you save money too. So I don't want the fans to think they can't do anything. But they can't do Aaron Jones and Bakhtiari. One of these guys is going to have to go to the last, to the last power, which will be to play it out. And, you know, whose franchise tag, both of those, running back and left tackle franchise tag, I'm sure is big. But long term, you have a backup for Aaron Jones. You do not have one for Bakhtiari. That's why it would be a 4-year extension, 5 years total at $100 million. 60 would be guaranteed. And then you're done with that. And you can just tell Aaron Jones, hey, we'll get you after the season. If I'm Aaron Jones, though, no, I played the year out. I want to be an unrestricted free agent. See, can I get a bigger? Because they can't pay him $15 million at that point because they don't have the money to do it. Unless they trade and start dumping contracts, but they can't do that.
All right, let's see what everybody else thinks. 414-799-1250. Louie and Franklin, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, Louie.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Yep, Louie, you just woke up from a nap.
Let's say that again.
You woke up from a nap. Normally you got more juice. What's wrong? You all right? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just, you know, long days, brother, long days.
Okay. Yeah, I'm checking out. Okay, go ahead, my brother.
Spark, I know I definitely understand what you're saying, and a lot of your points I agree with. But this is a guy that's still in his prime, and he's, what, maybe two All-Pros away from being a Hall of Famer?
Correct.
And those are the type of guys that, regardless of who your quarterback is, you're going to need. But I think what you guys are just talking about is kind of their dilemma, right? You can't pay everybody, and this is the penalty you pay when you bring in the Smith brothers, right? You pay those guys like elite-level pass rushers, and all of a sudden you get things tight and you're squeezed. And I definitely think that of the guys we're talking about in the offseason, Bakhtiari would be number one on my list. But that's a lot of money to pay a left tackle going into his 30s. But a lot of guys, you know, Peters and Whitworth, and there's a long list of guys that play tackle that are playing into their late 30s, and some of them playing at Pro Bowl levels more often than not. You know, Joe Thomas is another one. So he is, in my estimation, one or the second best left tackle in the league. You have a right-handed quarterback. Your next quarterback is probably going to be right-handed as well. So that's the guy you sign. But you're probably going to have to let Kevin King walk, regardless if he plays like he did last year or not. You're probably then going to try to get Jones on a discount, and if not, he's going to walk. And I think that's their draft strategy. You saw them go lineman, and you saw them go running back. I think that's their strategy. Their strategy is let's ride or die with what we got at wide receiver, unfortunately. And you know, if we can't re-sign these guys, we got guys that we picked that maybe we can bring in and mold into it. So, I mean, there's two areas that historically they draft well here, and offensive linemen is one of them, going back to, you know, Sitton and Lang and all those guys. So I don't have any issues that this will get done. This is how negotiations work. You know, David's job is to get the most he can. The Packers' job is to get him for the least amount of money they can.
Right.
Generally speaking, they'll meet in the middle.
All right,
yeah, and
Louis.
Thanks for the phone call, Louis. You know, I would always advocate players to don't sign contracts during the season unless it's a certain position. Left tackle, I would definitely do that during the season. Running back, you got a shelf life. You got to make as much money as possible. Hey, I'll just bet on myself and try to, because maybe Aaron Jones could hit him twice, Garrett, with two long-term deals because he's so young. But if you buy Terry, you in your prime, you got to
try to
max out
all you can get.
Yeah, two
right
or three
now.
Year deal and hit them again, or just one long term and be it over with.
Right.
I don't know, man. Don't you though, as a player, just kind of feel down about the fact that this isn't done? I mean, if you're David Bakhtiari, you've played at the highest level of any left tackle in sports, and you still don't have a deal done, and you're going into essentially the last year of your deal. Doesn't that have to be frustrating for the player?
It
might be, but he knows he's gonna get paid. If not, Green Bay is gonna be somewhere
else. I know. I just don't know if he. I don't think he wants to go anywhere else, though. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if he necessarily wants to pick up and leave and go somewhere else.
Well, you know, remember at the end of last year they redid Aaron's contract and I got more caps, where they gave him another $15-16 million or something like that on top of that, so they can have more cap room. That was now that I know about it. That was to get the Kenny Clark deal done. That's why they did that, to have that money carried over after the draft. Okay, because you had to give Jordan Love a 4-year, $12 million, fully guaranteed, by the way. And then all the giblets left, you can sign those guys. Now, okay, this is what that money from Aaron was able to sign Kenny Clark. Now they got to try to figure out create more cap space.
Here we go
Otherwise,
again.
You got to let both guys get past like the 10th game and let them play it out. And one of them will get franchise tag, one of them will get all new money.
And that's what I'm saying. We just discussed this yesterday. It would have made more sense to play that game with Kenny Clark than with David Bakhtiari. Wouldn't it have made more sense to pay Bakhtiari and get that done and then deal with Kenny Clark during the season or after the season?
Bakhtiari is going to be $100 million. Kenny Clark wasn't a $100 million deal. That's going to take some time.
That's right. The difference.
So they wanted one more than the other.
No, they're just taking their time.
Yeah. Probably saved them $40
million
to get him out of the way.
They always
get the
cheapest one first.
Right. That's what I'm telling you. I just
cheapest
don't,
one first.
Just don't think he's coming. Right. We'll see.
That's why I think
we'll
Aaron see. Jones going to get paid.
Hope I'm wrong. Yeah, I think All Aaron right. Jones is going to get paid, too, by the Packers. Yeah. I agree. Yep. And Bakhtiari will be one left out in the cold. And that sucks because I
they
like
got
David
Devontae
Bakhtiari.
Adams in a year and a half. They got Jai Alexander, Kevin King. They got a lot of people they got to pay. That's what comes with success. You got to pay all these guys.
Alexander will get paid. I don't know about everybody else. So we'll have to wait and see. Gary Ellerson, I know one thing. If I'm going to spend money to get the job done at my house, it's only going to be with J&J contracts.
Yeah, it's only going to be with J&J contracts. Guys, you're looking to remodel your house, your kitchen cabinets, countertops.
You're
looking
space.
To redo your bathroom. Yeah, you redo your bathroom. A lot of people putting in these double sinks now, redoing the doggone shower in there, and a lot of people doing the floors in there. A lot of people adding on livable space within their house because they're working out of their home. Turn that basement into an office. Turn that basement into a playroom. Turn that basement into a movie room. Turn that basement into a workout
that's a
room.
Great idea.
My good friends at J&J Contracts can do that and so much more, but you got to call Jason today. At J&J Contractors.
Up next, Great Lakes Dragaway Pick-A-Lane, the top three topics of the day, and your calls coming up next. Plus, Lomas Brown, former offensive lineman, plus analyst now for the Detroit Lions Radio Network, joins us at 5:35.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.